Well, welcome everybody. Thanks for waiting. And so we're going to do the best we can this evening. And if there's one or two issues, we'll just have to go with it. But we're very grateful to Dave and for all he does for us. So thank you. Let's ask for God's help as we focus and worship this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can join together with this evening. And we thank you for this building and all that we have. And we praise you for it. And we thank you that it enables us to worship you and to hear your word and to read your word. And I just pray that you be with us now as we meet, Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be settled and that you would help us to truly worship you this evening. Do be with us, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, and we're going to sing my hymn of praise. It's a hymn of praise for Jesus, and this is a song that encourages us to praise Jesus for all our days, and it's just a reminder that we can praise Jesus tonight, but he's worthy of all our praise for all our days. So if you can, do stand, and right at the start of this meeting, let's stand and praise Jesus together. Again, Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that Father is not just a description of you. It's not just something that you've become in time, but it's something that you are. And it is something that you have been from eternity past. Lord, your very essence is as a Heavenly Father, a loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, we praise you that through your Son, Lord, you have made all of us who trust in you to be your sons and your daughters. And we have been welcomed into your family. And Lord, we pray that that would be something that stirs us up. Lord, that stirs up a sense of praise and stirs up a sense of love within us. Lord, we've been thinking this morning, those of us who were here, about worries in the children's talk and all our concerns. And I'm sure if many of us were to list them out, it would be a substantial list. Lord, we thank you that we can cast them onto you. We can cast them into your hands. And Lord, it doesn't make the worries go away. They don't suddenly disappear. And yet, Lord, we thank you that you take the weight of them. And Lord, it enables us to feel a sense of joy and freedom and peace. Sometimes, even when there's still so much going on. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who cares about the little things. Though you are so mighty, though you are the omniscient, all-powerful God, you care about those little things that concern us and worry us. You care about us. You know everything about us. You know when we stand up and when we sit down and when we go to bed. You know what we're thinking and what our words are going to be before we say them. Lord, you know everything about us. And Lord, if we know ourselves well, Lord, we know that sometimes we can be impatient with others. We can be very selfish at times. Maybe we're not caring when we should be. But Lord, we thank you that you are not like that. Lord, you are so caring, so long-suffering, so loving. And I pray that that would be a blessing to all of us, even now. Lord, even now, as we're sat here in this service, Lord, that would be a blessing to us. And that as we go into this week, Lord, that these truths may be a real blessing to us, and that we may praise your name, and that your name will be glorified in us and in our words and as we talk to people because of who you are and because of what you've done. Lord, help us to praise you. Lord, we're all facing a new week. And maybe we've got exams coming up, maybe even tomorrow morning. Maybe there are family concerns. Maybe a stressful week ahead. Lord, help us to cast all of it into your hands and to trust you. And Lord, I pray now for all of those who don't know you, who have not been reconciled to you, who can't call you their father. Lord, I pray that they would seek you as a matter of urgency. Lord, you say to seek you while you may be found. Lord, I pray that they would, even tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them. Lord, that you'd convict them of their need for you, and that they would come to you knowing that they need you more than anything else, and that you would forgive them and give them that assurance that they are forgiven and a child of God. Lord, this is what you do. Lord, you transfer us through Jesus from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of your Son. And I thank you that many of us can say, yes, we've been transferred. We're now in the kingdom of light through Jesus. Oh Lord, we praise you for that. And we pray that you bless us this evening, as we've already prayed. Lord, as we look at your word, as we sing together, I pray that it would bless us and encourage us and challenge us. And may you be glorified. Lord, we pray that above all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in a moment we're going to have the readings, but just a few brief notices. So firstly, just a reminder that it's home groups this Thursday, so if you can go along to those, really encourage you to do that. John suggested we look at Psalm 73, so I suspect that's what most of us will be doing. Your home leader will confirm that with you, or if you're doing something else, but many of us will be looking at Psalm 73, so that's this Thursday. And then just a reminder, we've got four baptisms next Sunday morning, so a time of celebration. So yeah, do come along to that if you can. And then lastly, it is refreshments after the service this evening. So if you can, stay behind and chat, do, and enjoy biscuits and teas and coffees and fellowship together. Well, in our evenings soon, we're going to be starting a series on 1 Timothy. It's the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy. But who was Timothy and what was he like? Well, tonight we're going to find out. And we're going to look at what John has called his message tonight, Timothy, the man behind the letter. Timothy, the man behind the letter. So finding out a bit more about Timothy before we get stuck into this letter to him. So we're going to have some readings. And because they're about Timothy's life, they're sort of scattered about. So we've got four readings in two parts. And the first reading is in Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 1 to 5. So Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 to 5. Yeah, so if you can use your Bibles tonight, that'll be a lot easier. So Acts chapter 16. Verses 1 to 5, and that's page 924 in the church Bibles. Okay, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And then our second reading is also in the New Testament in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And we're reading verses 19 to 24. So that's page 981 in the church Bibles. 981. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. Page 981. It says this: I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Well, we were going to have another song, but I'm not sure we're able to at the moment. So let's pray again. Let's pray, and then we'll sing again. And we're going to just pray for a few things that we're involved with as a church, particularly about the preaching and the teaching of God's word. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that as a church and as a community, we have so many opportunities to study your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful and effective and useful for training us to become more like you. Lord, we thank you for home groups this week. Lord, we pray that it will be an encouraging time and a time of sharing. And Lord, we pray that these times will be a real time of spiritual growth for us. Lord, we thank you that they give us opportunities to discuss things and to maybe chat and apply it to our lives in a way that we can't always in other situations. Lord, we thank you for the breadth of ages that we get as well, and for how often that's so useful to hear from different generations. And we pray that you'd be with us this week. Lord, we pray that it would be a useful week and a good time, and that we'd come away feeling really blessed by those times. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities in schools. Lord, we thank you that there are some here who get to go into schools and give out Bibles, and we praise you for that. Lord, we know that sadly many of those Bibles don't get read, or maybe they get put in a cupboard somewhere. Lord, we thank you that sometimes they get read years later when they get discovered. But we pray that they would be read. Lord, we thank you that amongst young people there is more of a hunger to find truth and to know about these things. And so we pray, Lord, that you bless those who give out Bibles. Lord, we thank you as well for the opportunity to do lessons in schools and to do assemblies as well. And Lord, some of these opportunities are for a very short amount of time, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And it seems so quick and there's so little you can say. And yet, Lord, we know that your word is powerful. Lord, we know as well that often in many assemblies in schools, they're often taught very moral lessons. And there's some use in that, but Lord, that's not the power of the gospel. And so we pray that you'd help those of us who go into schools and other situations like that, that you'd help us to be faithful to your word and to speak the true gospel and to share Jesus in a way that makes people intrigued and that come to love you and to follow you and to see their need of you. Lord, do help us in those situations, we pray. Lord, I thank you so much for Rooted and Thrive that we have every Sunday morning. And for the number of people we get, Lord, we particularly love more children in Thrive, especially. Lord, you know we've been praying for that for a long time. Lord, do answer that prayer. Lord, we'd love to see more there. But Lord, we do pray as well that for those who are there, Lord, that they would really spiritually grow. And Lord, that you would use them. Lord, wouldn't it be amazing if you used one of them to do great things for your kingdom? Lord, you've done that in the past. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that those teachers who put in hours and hours every single week, Lord, be really encouraged that they are giving out the seed of God, as it were. And Lord, that you just encourage them that there is power there. And we're called to be faithful. And Lord, it is you who gives the growth. And Lord, we pray that you would. Lord, do encourage all those involved in that work. And we pray, Lord, that as the kids and teenagers are in those sessions, Lord, that it would really impact their hearts and their lives. And that the application may go into the Monday and into the week as they live their lives. Lord, we thank you that there's many other Bible studies that go on as well. Sometimes in groups, sometimes in one-to-ones that maybe other people don't even know about. And yet, Lord, we thank you for these opportunities. And we just pray, Lord, that more and more, Lord, that these times would grow us and shape us and mould us to become more like you. Lord, use your word in us. Lord, some of us were thinking just recently about the power of your word and how Jesus used it. Oh, Lord, help us to use it well and to be like Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us and bless us as we look at 1 Timothy in the evenings soon. Lord, I pray that it would be really helpful and instructional for us, that it would be foundational to our thinking, that it would be corrective where we need it to be, and that it would give us a real boost. Do be with John as he speaks tonight, and as he does a good chunk of that series. Lord, we pray that it may really grow us as a church. So Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us to see more and more of its power and to be encouraged in it and to love it and to use it. So Lord, all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing O Church Arise. Theme this evening is very much serving Jesus and being part of his mission. It is a big part of that, and it's the theme of this song, and it's the theme of the song we'll sing a little bit later on as well. So when the music starts and when we're all ready, let's stand and sing O Church Arise. Okay, so we have our second readings now, and they are both in 2 Timothy, and then after I've done these readings, John is going to come and speak for us. So 2 Timothy and chapter 1, and it's the first 7 verses, and that is page 995 in the Church Bibles. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at the beginning, and that's the top of page 995. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then the last reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's the first 10 verses. So this is over the page, page 996. Page 996 in the church Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 10. Sorry, 10 to 17. Sorry. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Amen. Thanks, Tom.
You know about Timothy. And perhaps the answer is nothing. And that's fair enough. It's all fairly new to you. Not heard of Timothy before. Don't worry. Hopefully you'll find out more as time goes on. Perhaps some of you think, well, I think there's a Bible book or maybe two named after him, isn't there? Letters going to him. And we're going to be looking at one of those letters in coming evenings. But what about the man behind the letter? That's the title for this evening, the man behind the letter. Anything else? Anything else that you would say? Can I give you just half a minute to think about if you know anything else about Timothy? I mean, you're welcome to whisper to the person next to you if you want to, but just give you half a minute to brainstorm anything you know about Timothy, just to get you thinking. Okay, that's just enough, just to get us minds tuned in. That's the point of that. Well, this evening we're going to think a bit about some of the things we know about Timothy from God's Word. And I think it will give some lessons as we go through. And I think they will encourage us and help us. And I think also it will help add a little bit of colour, if you like, to the letter of 1 Timothy, which we hope to go on to at some point within the next few weeks. And I've got 8 points, so we'll go through them quite quickly. If you can picture my PowerPoint up there, it's not up there, but I had a fine picture of a Middle East man who wasn't too old in the middle, and then the title was Timothy, the man behind the letter, and then we're going to put 8 headings really up of things that we know about Timothy, which I think will have lessons, but will also add a bit of depth to our understanding as we come into this great letter that we're going to look at. And the first point is mixed home life. Mixed home life. So Timothy steps onto the stage in Acts 16. He's already a disciple, but we learn that his home life is mixed. His home life has been a bit mixed. So Acts 16 verse 1 reads, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So his mum was Jewish, and certainly she was a believer. We're told so. She was a believer. She was a woman who was a believer. His dad was Greek. And the impression given is that he wasn't a believer. He wasn't a believer. In fact, as a result of his mixed situation, they decided to have Timothy, and he agreed to be circumcised, so that his mixed background didn't cause him a problem with reaching out to other Jews. Perhaps his mixed background was a bit of an asset. He could reach Jews and Greeks, which was a main division in those days. But certainly shows that we can have a mixed background. We can have a mixed background and yet become a disciple of Jesus, and indeed be a very useful disciple of Jesus. Now, maybe your parents aren't Christians, or maybe just one of them is a Christian. Timothy can encourage you that you can be a disciple and you can be a very useful disciple, because he was, despite his mixed background. In fact, there's a good number here who are Christians, whose parents weren't converted when they became Christians. Perhaps some have since. So he had mixed home life. And although his home life was mixed, included within it was shaping influences. That's our second point. The other side had some on the left, some on the right. Shaping influences. And 2 Timothy throws a bit more light on this. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 1, we find out that his mum, we've learnt that, but also his grandma were both believers. So 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Shows that that's the case and that they set a pattern for him. I am reminded, Paul says, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. So he had that pattern down his mother's side, at least, of faith, and they were an influence on him. And they taught him God's word from an early age. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we see that in verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Leading on to this very important verse. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So Paul is writing to Timothy, in that 2 Timothy, he's telling how valuable it's been that since he was young, he's been steeped in the scriptures, in the word of God, in the Bible. And maybe you have had that. You've had parents or one of your parents who've done family readings, read to you at night, encouraged you to have your own readings. Maybe you weren't all that keen all the time when it was going on. But now, a bit like Paul speaking to Timothy, you're realizing how useful it is and what a blessing it is to have that sort of treasure chest and store of Bible information in the background. It's a tremendous background. It's not something I had. Not all of us have had it. But you've had perhaps years of it. And you know the Word of God so well. And it's such a blessing, such an advantage. Be grateful for it. And some of you, parents, are still trying to encourage that in your children, especially if they're younger. Or maybe in Thrive or in First Steps or in Rooted, you're trying to influence the younger generation. Well, that's it's a great blessing. It's in line with the blessing that Timothy had, in part, as his mother and his grandmother were influencing him in God's word. What a blessing. Now, when Paul came to the area of Turkey where Timothy lived, he made an impression on him. And he had made an impression on others. And we come thirdly to early potential. Early potential. We're back in Acts for this, Acts 16 again. And verses 2 to 3, you can see what happened. Talked about Timothy, mum a believer, dad was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him and he took him. And Timothy was involved with the team. He joined them. He was just a young adult at the time. It was quite good timing for Paul because he'd lost Mark and lost Barnabas. That happened at the end of the previous chapter. So there was a little bit of a gap in the team. There was a need for more help. And Timothy was right there and ripe and could be included in the team. And so Paul had him join the team as they took some messages around some of the churches in the area. And look what happened by verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. Timothy was part of that at a young age. His potential was obvious. He had a good reputation amongst the believers. And Paul says, right, we can use that. You're going to come alongside. You're going to help us. And as a result of that, the churches were blessed and strengthened. And it is good, isn't it? If we're helped, if you're helped by God to be useful at an early age. To be useful at an early age. There's something to pray for young people, young adults here, that God might bless them, use them in the early years. And good as well to spot and utilise and encourage those who have abilities to serve in different areas, just as Paul did. I find that a difficult job as a leader. We find it a difficult job as leaders to try and spot and encourage people in their areas of service so that they're well used and developed. It's a big thing. Pray for us that we might be able to do it. Those of us who are involved in such things. At some point, Timothy's giftedness was recognised publicly. So you have in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6 this. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Another reference in 1 Timothy to that experience as well. So at some point, they recognised that Timothy had a particular role or gift of teaching, and that seemed to be acknowledged publicly by the laying on of hands, which they did. And it was important for Timothy to nurture that gift and to use it well, so that Paul says, fan into a flame the gift of God which he's given you. Now, our season of having home fires has gone on a little bit longer than we expected, not been quite so warm, so we've been having them longer than expected, and we've been running out of kindling. We have been kindly provided with kindling sometimes, and we were running a bit low and struggling. So more recently in the fires, I put what I could there, and it goes off fairly well at first, but there's not enough kindling to really get it going. So I've had to get this item that we've got on our fireplace and pick it up, and you know what it is? Yeah, I have to pump it. It's the bellows. And you have to pump it into the fire. I've had to do this most times to really get it going, because you've just got a sort of gentle fire which is on its way out. There's not enough to it, but you put some oxygen in and it starts to roar. And so we've got there in the end. We've had roaring fires. We've fanned into a flame what was there. And Timothy's encouraged to do that. He's been given a gift. He's young. He's useful. And it wants to be encouraged. And if you're young as a Christian, you've got gifts, different gifts, fan them into flames. And others fan them into flames. So we have his early potential. Now there are a number of things, if you look in the Bible, that are attractive about Timothy as a character. And one of them particularly is our fourth point, which is genuine care. Genuine care. It's something, if you're in one of the Wednesday women Bible study groups this week, I think you'll be onto this. You'll be in Philippians 2 and it will come up. And you see it there in verses 19 to 21, where we read, Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So self-absorption is quite a problem, isn't it? It's quite a problem amongst us Christians. I find it a problem. Maybe you find it's a problem. But Timothy was a bit distinct. He genuinely cared for people. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. It's not just the ladies who can be caring, you know. Timothy was caring. And he cared genuinely. It was real. It wasn't hypocritical. You have a higher value note. You don't often use notes now if you're going to a shop, I suppose. But you remember the days where we had cash. And if it's a higher value note, if it's £20 or something, then the shop assistant has to do something with it to make sure it's the real deal. Maybe they held it up to the light to see if there's a watermark, or they've got one of these sort of little scanning machines that they put it through to check it's the real thing. Well, if you were to do that with Timothy, you hold him up to the light or you put him through one of your scanning machines, it would be okay, it would be approved. He was genuine. He really did care for other people. Just like Jesus, we might add, who was earlier in that chapter. And who was so humble and unselfish that he laid down his life for others and is our great model. And Timothy was Christ-like, cared for others. It's a wonderful trait in him. It's a wonderful trait to see it copied in us. Now, there's a lot that was good about Timothy. But did he cut an impressive figure, if I put it like that? Did he cut an impressive figure, do you think? Do you think he was immediately seen as a born leader? Obviously he had a good reputation, we've come across that. But was he immediately seen as a born leader? Well, I'm not sure. And our fifth point is apparent weakness. Apparent weakness. So don't get carried away. Don't want to overinterpret things, and we have limited information. But there seem some things which seem to imply that there was something weak about Timothy. You say, well, where do you get that from? Where do you get that from in the Bible? Well, you think of what the Corinthians are told about him. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10, they say this, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. I'm not sure people stood in awe when Timothy came into the room. I think there was something about his, maybe his stature, or maybe his presence, or maybe his character. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a bit nervous. He wasn't somebody who gave a strong, influential impression straight away. He was easily despised. He was easily perturbed. He needed to be put at ease by the Corinthians when they had him come. And his health wasn't brilliant either, was it? We'll see in 1 Timothy 5, it seems a bit of a random quote, but it gives us a bit of insight, verse 23, where Paul says to him, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. It's often unwell. Concerned, Paul. And don't you get the impression that he was a bit on the timid side? I know we talk about timid Timothy, and we get a bit carried away with that if we're not too careful, because he was entrusted with a lot of responsibility, and he did end up in prison for a season. We're told he was let out in Hebrews 13. So I don't think we should think he's a total pushover as a character. But in 2 Timothy, Paul says this to him, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So I think there's some apparent weakness about this Timothy. But he was useful. Christ fills our weakness with his strength. Out of weakness we're made strong, as it says in Hebrews. It reminded me of my first public speaking responsibility. I mentioned it to some of you at an earlier stage, I'm sure. That was when I had to do a book review in what's now year 10 in English. So it was my first time up the front of a class, and I had to give a summary of what the book was. And I was so nervous, and I shook so much, that two of the girls in the class laughed so much they had to be sent out of the room. It's a glowing start, isn't it, to public speaking. God uses us in our weakness. In weakness, we're made strong. And maybe it's been a similar experience for you, or may encourage you when you feel so, so inadequate and yet have responsibilities coming your way. And this was perhaps added to by a sixth point, which is his comparative youth. Comparative youth. He was still a young man. How old do you think he was? Well, we're not told exactly. I think it's been about 13 years or so, probably something in that region, according to what I've read, from when he was first brought into the team by Paul, as we read in Acts 16. It's probably about 13 years or so when Paul is writing to him. So he's probably likely now, probably in his 30s, I expect. And he's still comparatively young, so that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, we have this, let no one despise you for your youth. So he felt surrounded by people older than him. And it's good to have a suitable respect for people older than us, isn't it? It's not pretty if young people think they know it all. But equally, there's sometimes where we need a conviction in what God has called us to do and to carry on with it, even though we're aware of our youth. Jeremiah found that. Solomon found that. Younger person, it might encourage you. Timothy was young when he was a disciple. Timothy was young when he was so useful. In fact, when I was baptized at age 16, there was somebody a couple of years younger than me who was baptized at the same time. And I remember that his older sister, he was the youngest in the family, I think. So older sister was quite a bit older than him. But she sent him a text to encourage him. And it was this verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth. I felt quite a big thing to be baptized at quite a young age for him. Let no one you're doing what God wants you to do. Don't let anyone look down on you. Be encouraged, so you're comparatively young. Maybe it encouraged you if you're stepping out in faith in some way, even though you're young. The words of the Lord to Jeremiah might encourage you too, where God says, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Seventhly, I've called it a quiet supportiveness. There's a bit more to it than that. But what we mean by this is that Timothy is a bigger influence in things than we might think. He was a man doing the work of the Lord, we've come across that. But actually he had had more impact than probably we realise, because we don't think of him as a big figure on the pages of the New Testament. But it is surprising how often he comes up. Oh, which churches did he help, do you think? Which churches do you think he helped? Have a think yourself. Well, he was at Berea in Acts 17 with Silas. He was at Corinth, Acts 18. He was at Ephesus, Acts 19, and goes on to Macedonia. He's at Troas in Acts 20. He's at Thessalonica, according to 1 Thessalonians 3. So he's got around a bit. He's influenced. And these things are positive situations where Timothy is there being a support and being a help. He's spoken of by Paul quite warmly, very positively. He's Paul's fellow worker. He's beloved and faithful. He's our brother. He's a servant of Christ Jesus. He's God's co-worker. These are some of the terms used for Timothy. And he's quite a help with Paul in his letters. We know them as letters of Paul. That's the way in which they're presented, and that's quite right. But do you know how many letters Timothy is a sort of co-signatory or a co-greeter in? Well, I counted up seven. Seven. So it's not always the sort of bold and noisy who have a big influence. There are sometimes those who God uses as quiet supporters, affecting a whole range of situations. And I know just for here, I mean, this is only a very little local patch, but it's a representative patch perhaps. I know here that there's a lot of people that do stuff on the quiet. And it's not necessarily on a rota. And their name doesn't get on the bulletin for it. And they're beavering away. And they're doing things. And sometimes you find out, oh, they were around helping out. And they've taken them. And then we're doing that, and then we're messaging that, and all of this happens on the choir, has a big impact on individuals, but they're not the main person up the front. And it's not quite the same, but Timothy is an example of a quiet but very influential supportiveness. The Apostle Paul valued him greatly. And then we come lastly, and this in connection with where we're going to be going in coming weeks. And I want to finish with this. So the last heading, for those of you who are scribbling down what I'm saying, is current challenge. Current challenge. It's Timothy is now ministering again at Ephesus. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. And not everything was easy there. There were false teachers needing to be dealt with, as we see in the rest of that verse. There seemed to be church leaders who were a bad influence. There were some women who were causing problems. There were some rich who were not spiritually minded. Timothy was amongst God's family. A great privilege to be at work amongst God's family, the household of God. Paul was hoping to come soon, but until then, Timothy was to do what he could. And perhaps the central charge of the letter in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15 is this. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household or the family of God, which is the church of the living God. And what that involved, we shall find out in coming weeks' time as we look from the man behind the letter to the letter that the man received, which helped him in arranging affairs in this precious community of people, which was the family of God, and which he should serve and encourage and bless. So, those eight things, I'll give you them again because they're not up on screen. I can't quite remember them off the top of my head, so I'll have to look them up. Mixed home life, shaping influences, early potential, genuine care, apparent weakness, comparative youth, quiet supportiveness, and then current challenge. What's the verdict on the last hymn, Dave? Are we ready to go with either, or which one have you got lined up?
May the mind.
Let's go with that one. May the mind of Christ my Saviour. So this is picked because it reflects the genuine care and Christ-likeness that Timothy showed. So we'll just wait a moment while it will get sorted through. Good. Thank you, John. Lord, we're reminded in that song of our Saviour. We've been reminded as we've been thinking of Timothy that he reflects his Saviour. Timothy was as he was because of Christ's grace. And so we pray that you might help us. We pray we might learn lessons from Timothy, from the influences on him, from his usefulness, from his care, from his supportiveness. But as we learn lessons from him and think of them for our own lives, we pray it will come under this bigger umbrella of being grateful for our Saviour, of looking like our Saviour, of reflecting his beauty. So we do pray that may the mind of Christ, my Saviour, be in me from day to day. Amen.